Hey everyone, it's Nicole Fernandez. I'm just letting you know that I'm making custom tarot and rune cards for those who are open to those spiritual experiences and also who want a personal deck made just for you. If you're interested in this, please message me on my Instagram page. It's called Blood Rituals Pod. Very, very easy. Blood Rituals Pod. So, if you're interested, let me know, and I can go ahead and get that started for you. Thanks, guys. Hey, everyone. I just wanted to let you know that Blood Rituals has a new merch page open, and the link is included in the description for the podcast on every single platform. We have Blood Rituals merch. We have Silly Little Gay Lover merch. We have one that looks like Jesus H. Christ. We have a beautiful woman that has a bunch of beautiful monster flowers coming out of her hands. A whole line dedicated to bipolar baddies. And a really cute skull. A really cute skull design. So yeah, go ahead and check out that store. Check out the Blood Rituals store. Get your merch. There's a ton of cute shit on there that you can get that will match pretty much everything. So yeah, take a look. Thanks, guys. Hello everyone, welcome back to Blood Rituals. I'm your host, Nicole Fernandez, and today we're going to continue on with the Wheel of the Year. Right now, there's a super full moon going on, so get out your little bottles of water, get out your big buckets of water, get out your crystals, take them outside, make yourself some full moon water, and, you know, use it for your spells, use it as a little bath bomb. Just pour some of that in there. Just celebrate the full moon as much as you can because it is a super full moon, my friends. So that means our manifestations, our negativity, everything that we want to release, as well as everything we want to absorb, this is the best time right now. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't really care about the full moon until, well, the full moon or the new moon or any of those celebrations until the last couple months, and it's brought a lot of guidance to my life. The full moon started, you know, yesterday-ish, but it's still going on, and it's still super moon. And not only that, the moon's in Aquarius right now, which means that we're going to be a lot more friendly. We're going to have the energy of an Aquarius, which makes one like super helpful, communicative, imaginative. And we're also like there to assist people that need some sort of advice or trouble, which I think is something we should do during every season. But during this season, especially, it's very, very important. And not only that, it's the 17th lunar day, which means it's a time of joy. We are supposed to be celebrating some pleasurable occasions, which is perfect because today is the 4th of July. And we're going to be meeting up with friends, attending various events, seeking joy. And we should live this day effortlessly and casually because it'll lay the foundation for the rest of our for the rest of the month whenever we focus on our positive mood. Today, it's really interesting how it lines up with today because of the 4th of July, like a day of celebration and being with your friends. However, it works out because that's what we kind of need right now. I feel like the world really needs to just celebrate what's going on in their lives and let go of all the negativity. Let go of those friends that fucked you over, man. Let go of all those people that are super fucking mean for no reason. Let go of that horrible job that you have and go get another one. And if you can't let go of that stupid job, maybe let go of the stress from that stupid job. Try to let go of the seriousness. Pull yourself back into yourself. That doesn't sound right. Refocus your life on yourself instead of focusing so much on the things around you, you know. Be there for people, help and support one another, give advice when it's needed, but also, you know, use this season, use this super full moon to get back in touch with yourself. It's super important to you. But anyway, yeah, for this episode, we're going to be focusing on the rest of the Wheel of the Year. And we don't have that much left, honestly. We only have a few seasons left. So let's just jump right into it. So during this episode, we're going to be focusing on the last three seasons, or the three celebrations, rather, of the Wheel of the Year, which comes down to Yamas, Mabon, and Samhain. All of us are very familiar with Samhain, obviously, because it starts on Halloween. But yeah, Yamas is very, very interesting. I believe that this is really cool because it starts on August 1st, and that marks that's basically marking the festival that we're supposed to be putting together for the blessing of the first fruits of harvest. So typically, whenever we look at the symbolism of Yamas, it's about how high summer and the union of sun and earth, god and goddess, all connected to produce the first harvest, which essentially means we're celebrating the earth, the sun, and the god and goddess, because they helped produce this first grain of harvest. And it's a time of, you know, gathering together and giving thanks for all the abundance in our life. This celebration starts on August 1st, which is basically the first, well, not the first day, but it's starting to move into the fall season, right? Like, we're in this little transition area where we're in fall, but we just came out of summer. And, you know, we're trying to put on the celebration because it's helping us, like, remember that all these different, like, harvests, all these different flowers, all these different plants and animals that come out during this time are usually hidden. So whenever we think about, like, the harvest that we're putting together, it's not just about the plants, right? The plants are just the foundation. The plants are something to celebrate because it's, number one, bringing new life around during this season. And not only that, it's bringing around life that'll continue on to give other people life. So while these plants are being harvested, and while, like, you know, harvest is in, like, corn, wheat, stuff like that that we need consistently throughout the year. Apparently, way back when, this was the perfect time for that to happen. And while we're celebrating the growth of all these different things, we need to also focus on the growth within ourselves and the blessings that we're getting from this sort of food. Not only are we getting a bunch of food and different things that we can use for our own, like, for animals and whatnot, like, if we have pet animals, like pet cows or whatever, if we have a barn. I'm vegan, so I'm not necessarily, like, super into barns, but there are really, really nice barns out there. And back then, they didn't necessarily treat animals the way that we do now. So we're also celebrating the continued life of our stock, the continued life of our friends, the continued life of just things around us, instead of directly moving into winter, which is where things kind of start dying and, you know, rejuvenating due to the lack of energy and the lack of sunlight and the lack of heat. So with Yamas, when we go to celebrate this, there are different things that we can do. So we can technically do this by ourselves. We can have our little altar with different symbols for the season. You know, some symbols include, like, scythes, corn, grapes, apples, like, crops that are usually, like, harvested during this time. But other things that we can use are crystals that are personally, like, significant with this season. So with the beginning of fall, a lot of people, especially children, children, college students, stuff like that, a lot of people are going back to business. They're going back into their work. They're starting to rejuvenate all of their motivation so that they can put more work into their lives. And not only that, a lot of people that celebrate this, that have a career, this is their time to think about the things that they want to change in their life, but also take a step back and be grateful for everything that has already happened in their life. So while this holiday is about, you know, bringing more abundance to our life, whether that be plants, whether that be friends, energy, anything like that, or even motivation, it's also about letting go of a lot of things and appreciating what we have around us. Because first and foremost, way back when the harvest came around, we were completely dependent on the sun, the weather being perfect, all these different factors that we didn't know at the time because we didn't have science yet. We just kind of noticed, based on observation, that certain plants would grow at certain times, and that would be a mark for celebration because those things help us continue living throughout the winter, throughout the fall, into the springtime. So it's very important to not only think about what you want in your life in terms of abundance, but it's also a time to really just celebrate and relax and realize that while we have a lot of intentions being sent out into the universe, and while we're trying really hard to create a plan for our life or build motivation again, this is a time to really take a step back and celebrate and relax and realize that we just went around the wheel of the year again, and we're back at Yamas, and we need to rejuvenate and kind of realize that, you know, while we won't have abundance in certain areas in our life that we want abundance in, there are other areas in our life in which we are getting excessive energy or elation or just some sort of positive affect from it. And I know that not everybody has a positive life, but this is a period of time where we can celebrate even past achievements that have brought us to this point. Like, for example, like celebrating with your friends, letting go of the past. That also means kind of getting in touch with yourself. Like I said earlier, getting into yourself again. And, you know, like thinking about what really makes you happy and what you surround yourself with on a daily basis. And whenever we think about those things, and whenever we think about what we've achieved so far, we can also look back to the past and all the trauma that we've experienced, all the things that we've experienced with our friends and family that we've moved past and grown from. So not only are we celebrating the growth of like plants and energy, but we're also celebrating the growth within ourselves and our community and our friends and our family. We're celebrating growth in general. And that's what's really special about Yamas, is that even though it only happens once a year, it's a huge celebration because it's a way to, oh my God, sorry, my throat. Ugh. Okay, but anyway, this is just a great way for us to kind of take a step back and realize, you know, we should celebrate and be thankful for everything that we've accumulated and done so far. And that's why it's kind of interesting that today we're celebrating Yamas on the 4th of July, because the 4th of July is a very controversial holiday. But in terms of paganism, like whenever we think about celebrating and everything like that, Yamas isn't in July, but we're bringing that energy with us, right? So in July, we're not in midsummer anymore, and we're not in another season whenever it comes to the wheel of the year. We're between midsummer and Yamas. So whenever we think about Midsummer and Yamas being separated by this small period of time, we're like building up our energy again to go into Yamas with everything that we have. So not only is the 4th of July a great celebration for, or not even a great celebration, a great excuse to celebrate with your friends and family about all the things that you guys have achieved over the years, and not only that, everything that you've achieved and put together for this year, before the year comes to a close. We're about like a little halfway through the year right now, so we have, you know, just enough time to like set our intentions and move into the next season, Yamas, with, you know, more accountability for our actions, and not only that, with more hope for something greater than this. And the 4th of July, a lot of people celebrate it because, oh, it's Independence Day, and oh, it's when Christopher Columbus did that thing with the boat. Yeah, whatever. Like, the celebration of 4th of July, I don't really like get super patriotic with it. To me though, it's just a way to celebrate and get together with people and realize, you know, we don't have this time all the time. It's a government holiday, and not a lot of people have the opportunity to even celebrate it anymore. So whenever everybody is able to get together and everybody is able to do something during the 4th of July, it's really special, because that doesn't happen that often. It doesn't happen with most holidays anymore, because a lot of people are working during the holidays. So when you do get the opportunity to celebrate with your friends and family, no matter what the occasion is, it's very rejuvenating, and it does give you a lot of energy. And it's perfect right now, while there's a full moon, to get all that energy, get all that motivation, put your intentions out into the universe, let go of the negative things by, like, there's a simple spell that you can do where you write down all the negative things in your life. You take a candle out there, take the crystals that correspond with that motivation that you have in your life. I can't tell you which crystals right away, because it depends on what you need. Like for me, for example, I'd probably need a lot of tiger's eye or amethyst, stuff that basically like contributes to having a calm mind. And from there, I would basically just sit outside. I would take a little plate out there, one that's fire safe basically, or if you have concrete, you can also just like put it on the concrete. But there's a simple spell where you take all those negative things and you close your eyes over the light of a candle with all your crystals, with water out there, and you basically just like meditate. And as you meditate, you're essentially thinking about all the negative things that you want to let go of. And while you're holding this piece of paper that has this list, you're going to be thinking of all the negative things that you want to let go of and transfer that energy into this piece of paper, essentially, and think on it and try to imagine all of these negative things pouring out of you. A lot of people like to associate that energy with the color red. So if you could, or even exhaling, like exhaling and blowing out a fire, if you think of those few things in your head, you just pushing all your negative energy out in this piece of paper, collecting it. As you meditate, you're going to slowly rip it up piece by piece and repeat to yourself, I let go of all the negative energy in my life. I release all the negativity in my life, and I release myself from the trauma that's been holding me back. Sorry, there's a lot of fireworks out here. It's 4th of July, guys. So once you're done ripping up this piece of paper, you would essentially put it onto the plate or onto the concrete, light it on fire with a little match, or you could put it into the candle and lay it on the ground after that, or on the plate after that. And while it's burning, you're closing your eyes and you're meditating on the same prayer, essentially. Like, I am releasing everything that I want out of my life
from my body, from my mind. I'm letting it go and I'm giving it to you, moon. I'm giving it to you. And it doesn't even have to be during the nighttime. If you're celebrating during the daytime, you can give it to the sun, because not only are we kind of worshiping the sun and moon all at the same time as the earth and the god and goddess, we're celebrating growth and rebirth and truly getting into our own characters instead of, you know, allowing our trauma to inform our decisions or to change who we are in a negative way. So as this thing is burning and we're letting go of all this energy, feeling the heat from the fire, feeling everything around you, listening to the sounds that are happening outside and like tuning in to everything is going to help you connect to everything a lot more too. Because if you're outside and you're doing this sort of ritual, you're not only trying to release all the negative tension from your life, you are doing a physical action by writing this down, ripping it up, meditating on this new found, what is it called? It's almost like you're crafting the person you want to be in your head by letting go of everything else and meditating on those thoughts as well and the growth that you're going to encounter soon, even if you haven't gone through the changes that you want to just yet. So yeah, that's just one ritual that you could do. But whenever it comes to Yamas, the most, like, whenever it comes to Yamas, there isn't a specific way to like celebrate, but there are some celebrations that you could do. For instance, during this holiday, a lot of people bake bread. And the reason why people bake bread is because Yamas is actually a version of the like Christianized name of the festival, Loaf Mass, which is just like the tradition of breaking bread to celebrate the harvest. And it's the same thing. Like, Yamas is celebrating the harvest. And you can do that by, you know, baking bread, sharing like one piece of bread amongst like all of your friends in that sort of fashion that you're celebrating the harvest and like trying to recreate some sort of celebration that we know from stories, I guess. Like, the story of sharing bread amongst men with Christians is very, very popular. But with pagans, we're just trying to celebrate the first grain and harvest and fruits of the year. Because without that, we have no harbinger of fall, essentially. Like, that is our way of putting together a celebration of the beginning of fall. Like I said at the beginning of this whole entire episode. Anyway, and this season always happens during Leo season, when the sun is in the sign of the lion, and it always occurs within a few weeks of the new moon in Leo and the full moon in Aquarius. And since Leo and Aquarius are opposite signs in the zodiac, it means that they represent, or it means that this holiday represents an axis or spectrum of energy. And in this case, the spectrum of individual versus collective and of personal, and of personal creativity and freedom versus the greater good is going to be in full effect. Like, we're going to be taking care of the individual versus the collective, but also celebrating with the collective, if that makes sense, because we're enjoying our own personal growth while celebrating other people's personal growth in the process. And Yamas is halfway between the point of the summer solstice and the autumn equinox. So at this point in the year, the days are still a lot longer than the nights, but not for much longer. So whenever we celebrate, we can do many different things, like I said. Some ways to like add to the celebration is wearing certain colors, like yellow, gold, orange, brown, certain colors that symbolize autumn, and crystals that kind of
accentuate this holiday as well are carnelian, citrine, and pyrite. Mainly like crystals that are meant to bring abundance and happiness. Herbs, thyme, rosemary, sage, and common foods during this period of time to celebrate is wheat, grains, bread, corn, mead, ale, honey, or berries. And like I said, celebrating takes different forms, but a lot of people use this time to celebrate by creating manifestations. So whenever you set the intentions that you have in spring before Yamas, we have time to take action during the summer and then have gratitude during the fall and see how far we've come. And by celebrating those few things with everything that we have together, it's really, really important to basically like at least make a journal prompt or like make some sort of ritual, whether it be with a person or by yourself, to purposely reflect and move on. So every celebration is going to be like a type of reward system, because you're not there to beat yourself up. You're not there to change your whole entire life. You're there to reflect, celebrate, and move on. So a lot of people celebrate by like going to the beach, going out into the wilderness. Some people even like just go outside and sit peacefully like by themselves. And not only that, a lot of people just have like big feasts together, like having a big like family dinner essentially, or like a dinner with your witch friends and talking amongst each other about everything that's happened instead of trying to ignore what you've been through, because it's totally fine to release goals that are no longer aligned with what you, with who you are and what you want in life. And that's what this whole entire thing is about. So in essence, there aren't many rituals that are tied to Yamas other than celebrating, letting go, and setting manifestations, whether that be by yourself or with other people. And like I said, there are many different ways to do that, but the most common ways are to just feast and speak with one another and be honest and really truly celebrate the growth that everybody has had throughout the whole entire year, even just throughout the summer, so that you guys can prepare for the winter months that are coming up and the other celebrations that you're about to look forward to, which include Samhain and, you know, Mabon, which we're going to talk about in just a few seconds. So yeah, in essence, just remember, Yamas always starts August 1st because it is the point where we are moving from longer days to shorter days. It's the point where we're transitioning from who we were into who we want to be. And if we haven't gotten there yet, we are celebrating the progress that we've made towards that new person that we're trying to become. But with that being over with, we can move on to the next Sabbat, which is called Mabon. And I'm getting all my information from this great article from a website called Mabonhouse.co. And the title is A History of Mabon and the Wheel of the Year. So it basically says that Mabon is the last Sabbat in the Wheel of the Year, marking the end of summer and the beginning of autumn. So even though Yamas is essentially like marking that transition as well, Mabon is when this transition actually happens. So like, well, in terms of pagan beliefs and pagan like rites that were happening around the time that these situations were created, these rituals. And basically, it's celebrated during the autumnal equinox, and Mabon occurs around September 21st in the northern hemisphere and March 21st in the southern hemisphere. And the history of Mabon, it stretches back to ancient Celtic times, though Mabon is a Sabbat holiday, really, It really took root in like the 1970s, and it's one of the lesser known sabbats. So it's gaining more popularity as people are like focusing more on the entire wheel of the year, which is really interesting. And one of the early histories of Mabon is that it comes from a medieval Welsh myth called Mabinogion. I'm pretty sure that's not how you say that, but it's basically spelled Mabinogion, if you want to look it up. And it's an oral narrative, which is essentially a story that's passed down by generations by an oral story being told, as opposed to like a written story. And it says that this oral narrative, which is along the lines of like Homer's Iliad and the Odyssey, it tells four different stories featuring a cast of reoccurring characters. So Mabon, he's a young warrior who is often portrayed as like a super young man and is a cultural hero of these myths because he's born of a divine child. And his birth is associated with some kind of miracle, like some sort of immaculate conception. And that's why it was really easy to bridge this celebration to Christianity, just like Lammas was or Yamas was. So it's really interesting because these stories, they come from different time periods all throughout history, but for some reason they have this sort of synchronicity amongst all of them, which is really, really cool because that means that all over the world, we all had similar ideas about how the weather works, how seasons work, how quote unquote gods work, and it all comes from our curiosity of trying to make sense of the world, essentially. And that's why the myth of Mabon is really interesting, because they say that as a baby, he was kidnapped and taken to the other world, which is known as the underworld, and is eventually rescued, echoing the story of Demeter and Persephone, who are basically like two figures from Greek mythology who are really, really closely associated with autumn and spring equinoxes. Sorry. But yeah, spring equinoxes. And Mabon is the name of a specific holiday. And it didn't take place until around the 1970s, apparently. But there are traces saying that it goes back a little bit further. It's just that in the 1970s, it was documented a lot more. And that's mainly because witchcraft, all of that stuff, was looked down upon for a very long time, especially with Christianity and Catholicism becoming larger forces around the world. So whenever it comes to that, the celebration of the autumn equinox is as old as humanity, essentially. Like, this goes all the way back to, like, the Celtics and the Norse people. There are a lot of celebrations that are very, very similar. And although Norse, like people that followed like Norse gods and all those beliefs, like in all of those different countries, I can't exactly remember them off the top of my head. Like Norway, essentially, like places like that where following certain gods and goddesses is very, very similar to how in other parts of the world they would follow Celtic gods and goddesses and practices. And it was something that everybody followed along with, because at some point you have to make sense of what's going on in your world, in your reality. And these celebrations and these reoccurring events seemed like omens almost. It didn't seem like a pattern. It was more of like a blessing, in a sense. In this pattern, it became ritualistic. They ended up celebrating because they knew that certain things were going to happen at certain times of the year according to what they've observed over time. So yeah, these celebrations of the autumn equinox is as old as humanity. And while Celts may not have really celebrated Mabon per se, they always celebrated an autumn equinox.
And that's what I'm trying to say, is that even back when we didn't have all these different terms that we use nowadays for the Wheel of the Year and everything like that, even way back when, the Celts believed that celebrating the autumn equinox was going to inevitably help them and help them, you know, hone their manifestations and actually, like, pull forward and, like, push forward in their lives. And working and everything like that was way different back in the, like, essentially back in the Dark Ages and way before when. It's like during all these periods of time, people are trying to embrace their spirituality, their religion, and a lot of people have differing opinions on what happens with the divine and how the divine actually intervenes and helps. And with the Celts, they believe that celebrating and making sure that Mother Earth and all the goddesses and gods were all pleased, it was more important to celebrate and manifest and do things that these seasons stand for instead of, you know, like, there are a lot of people that didn't believe those things at the time as well. But whenever they celebrated these sorts of things, it was way more important than trying to be put up a front. And it was more important than trying to hide your intentions. Like, believing in these sorts of beliefs at the time, depending on what time it is, during the Dark Ages it wasn't great, but at every single time, even during the Dark Ages, there are groups of people that have always made a point to celebrate the autumn equinox. And the autumn equinox, whenever you look at different pictures and whatnot, it usually says that Mabon, it starts at September 21st and it goes on to the 24th. And it's called the autumn equinox by every single source that there is. So, in essence, it's like Yama starts August 1st and then, like, maybe a month and 21 days later, sorry, a month and 20 days later is Mabon, and that's when you're, like, celebrating, like, the autumn equinox. And, like, while you're doing this, you're essentially celebrating the end of a busy harvest season, because as we discussed, Yamas is the beginning of the harvest season. Like, all of these great things are being given to you, and it's like you're able to manifest much, much more because of the point in time where our planet is in the universe in accordance to the sun and the moon. And not only that, with other planets, like we talked about earlier, right now the moon is in a certain zodiac sign, but during Mabon, it's going to be around, you know, a completely different period of time than what was mentioned prior, you know. So anyway, whenever it comes to Mabon and the Wheel of the Year, we really want to know, like, if it wasn't an ancient holiday like Yule or Samhain, when did it start? So, from this source, despite hundreds of years of Christianity in Europe, there remained a keen interest in ancient pagan rituals and celebrations. The fear that surrounded paganism around the 17th and 18th centuries, around when the Salem witch trials started happening, this gave way to a lot of academic interest towards the Age of Enlightenment, which basically meant that ancient paganism was further mythologized by writers of the Romantic period of the late 18th century, which is when fairy tales and all that started happening. And throughout the 19th and 20th century, a neo-pagan movement started gaining traction between different sects, popping up through Europe and North America. And the reason for that is because even though in the 17th and 18th centuries, there were a bunch of witch trials, there was a bunch of death that was completely unnecessary because somebody believed in a certain spiritual inclination that other people did not agree with, especially the church, and the church was the law in most cases back in the day, back in the 17th and 18th centuries. And that's why it gave way to more interest during the Age of Enlightenment, because whenever these like ancient paganism like stories and rituals were further mythologized by writers of the Romantic period, it made fairy tales seem like stories. It seemed like, you know, following a pagan lifestyle, essentially, which is usually depicted by just a witch that looked very, very scary, or a warlock that looked really, really scary, or perpetrating violence in some sort of way, or manipulating, or making love potion, stuff like that. There were a lot of stories that made magic and anything surrounding that topic, even if it wasn't necessarily harmful, like Yamas, for example, celebrating the harvest was never evil, and celebrating the growth of a harvest, which is happening during Mabon, it doesn't really make sense. But at the same time, back then, these romantic fairy tale stories are trying to relay that any sort of magic whatsoever, it's not good, it makes you a bad person, blah, 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 blah. And some of the stories did have good magical people in it to teach lessons that you shouldn't judge people, sort of thing. But at the same time, it was very, very hard, because Mabon was not something that was celebrated as early on as Yule or Samhain. All of those, there are a lot of different holidays that have started at different periods of time, and I'm trying to give as much information as possible, but this is something that should be pointed out more than anything, because this wasn't necessarily an ancient holiday. This is something that has been coming around ever since the last few centuries. And throughout the 19th and 20th century, like I said earlier, a neo-pagan movement started gaining traction with many different sects that popped over through Europe and North America. But not only that, paganism is not the only religion that was doing this sort of activity. There was also a lot of magical practices that have been happening in both in Africa and Asia and Russia. These different religious outlooks on life basically influenced how they were acting. And whenever it came to basically hiding the importance of these sorts of rituals for those people that need this sort of magical energy in their life, for example, like me, like I definitely need this sort of guidance in my life, and it makes sense. I'm connected to nature. I'm not connected to darkness necessarily. It's just one of those things where this is what I believe in and it works best for me. But turning beliefs into childhood stories, it's been done with paganism, but it's also been done with many other religions to mock those efforts to essentially make your life better. It mocks those efforts and it makes one think, like, well, if everybody else thinks this is evil, why shouldn't I? And that's one big thing that happens with Satanism. Like, Satanism is not necessarily a bad religion. When it comes to worshiping the Lord Satan, that can get really complicated. But the actual definition of Satanism is cut down to like one minute point, which is you can do whatever you want with your life as long as you don't hurt anybody else, which is not that bad. But it's basically prophesized and like, not prophesized, it's basically publicized and it's been written in history that anybody that follows Satanism is
basically a follower of the devil, which is not necessarily true. That's just a connotation that has been taken out of context, and a lot of people don't understand that. So whenever it comes to Mabon, it's very interesting because for modern witches, since Mabon ends marks the end of the witch's year, which is really cool. I always thought it was Samhain or Yule because that's how we see the year. But apparently, Mabon is the actual end of the witch's year. And it's a good time to let go of everything that does not service you. Kind of similar to Yamas. But it's very, very encouraged to cast spells for decreasing or ending old habits. And meditating on what you want to let go of. And give thanks for the good things you have in your life. So just like Yamas, whenever you started this whole entire process, you were blessed with new harvests, more energy, more motivation, more social inclinations to be around people and actually like contribute and like love one another. And whenever it comes to like casting spells to decreasing and ending old habits and meditating on what you have to let go of, since Mabon marks like the end of, since it marks the end of the whole entire year, it's basically like the time to start over. It's almost like New Year's for us in America, like New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, December 31st through the 1st of January, we're celebrating the birth of a new year, essentially. And that's what Mabon, that's what Mabon is. I keep stuttering. I'm so sorry. That is my fault. But since it marks the end of the year, it also marks like the end of the harvest, which is really, really interesting. And since you're focusing on casting spells to decrease and end old habits, you're doing all of this to prepare for the next year that's coming up. It's almost like a New Year's resolution in a sense. You're letting go of everything else that's happened in the past. That's usually what we do during new moon rituals, during any of these eight Sabbats. We are essentially trying to figure out what needs to be done, you know? And whenever we think about it in terms of like, whenever we think about it in terms of new year, new me, or like it's a brand new year and I need to like set new goals, that's the kind of energy that is taken with this sort of holiday. And Mabon, there is a lot that goes with it. Mabon in astrology. Basically, the season of Mabon is a transition from Virgo to Libra. So it explains that this is a time that, well, the article that I'm reading from, it is called, yeah, I already told you what it's called. Never mind. Just wanted to make sure. But basically, whenever it comes to astrology and Mabon, this person that wrote a book called The Modern Witchcraft Guide to the Wheel of the Year, Judy Ann Nock, Nock explains that this is the time from moving outward toward the season of Virgo and the fullness of summer to a time to, like, basically to a time of introspection. And the Libra, with its focus on balance and harmony, is a turning point in the wheel of the year. So from the transition from Virgo, the fullness of summer and the time of introspection and, like, figuring out what you want to manifest fully before the end of the year, and to celebrate what you've done throughout the whole entire year. It's like a celebration right before the end of the year, almost like Thanksgiving, like a celebration right before Christmas. Like, we're thanking everything that has happened so far, and then moving into the next season, which is New Year's and making new goals. And that's where the Libra comes in, the transition between the two. The Libra is focused on balance and harmony, and this is a huge turning point for the wheel of the year because balance and harmony are the two things that are very, very important when you want to cast any sort of spell or whenever you're trying to manifest something with the universe, because without some sort of balance or harmony in your life, or without making a plan to have balance and harmony in your life, it's going to be somewhat chaotic. And it's not like you need to be an obsessive planner or an obsessive person in order to celebrate Mabon or to follow the wheel of the year. All you have to do is essentially learn that each one of the Sabbaths is a transition into a new period of time. And this new period of time is significant for many different reasons. And that's why some of the celebrations, which are very, very interesting to me, is that since this is the second of the three harvests, Mabon is often equated with Thanksgiving. As I said earlier, it's seen as a time by Wiccan and witches to reflect and thank on Earth for its bounty. And that can be said about Yamas as well. However, Mabon is kind of the turning point between fall and winter. It's like the between point. It's like it's not too far away from that cold season where things start to die off and we need to start fresh. So, anyway, in order to celebrate Mabon, you're basically like reflecting and thanking the earth for its bounty, as if you would with Yamas. And while in America, we typically focus on like Thanksgiving and we eat a lot of food and watch TV together, historically, celebrations were focused on the connection between people and the earth. So being as close to nature as possible, that is what made Mabon special. So whenever you celebrate, you can do numerous spells in terms of trying to, you know, get closer to one another and like manifest your destiny into the universe. But the most important part about Mabon is that you're celebrating with the people that you love, and you're focused even more. You're getting deeper and deeper into it because this is the end of the wheel of the year and we're starting over. It's time to like kind of think about what you really need to be focusing on individualistically while being available to the public in the most kind-hearted way you can, which is very, very difficult. But that's what this whole entire period of time is about. It's a time of adjustment and like learning how to be a better person and how to incorporate these new lessons that you're learning every single day into your everyday life instead of simply remembering it when it's too late. So now that we've gotten through that, I really want to talk about some spells that can be done during Mabon, because that is something that I feel like is very, very important. Because if you don't use any spells or do any rituals, it may not feel as if you're celebrating properly. And that's why I always include spells or some sort of like handy crystal or something that I can provide, because without these rituals, it makes it less tangible that there's a huge shift going on in your life. So first and foremost, some crystals that are really, really helpful during these rituals is celestine, which allows you to stand back and look at a problem without emotionally clouding the situation, and it clears any blocks that may be preventing you from connecting with the spirit world, which is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get some answers from the spirit realm, as well as any other deity or energy force that we believe exists outside of ourselves. Clear quartz, which is a stone of healing. It channels power and amplifies universal energy. And the stone can be programmed to whatever use you require. You can essentially use this crystal and set your intentions, or use it as an amulet, and whatever you want it to be, you can use it for. So clear quartz is very useful in number of spells or any sort of ritual or situation that you need an extra boost in, because even though it gives you like healing powers and it gives you like power and universal energy, you can program per se, you can program the little crystal to be there for anxiety, for example, or to be there for luck, or if you need money or something like that. If you're trying to manifest something, you can use this kind of crystal. Hematite, a stone of protection and grounding. It closes your aura to keep out negative energy, so it provides support for astral projection also. So if you're into astral projection and you're able to, I have not been able to yet, but I will research it soon. It's very, very good to have this sort of stone because it grounds you and it protects you and it protects your aura. So not only that, it closes your aura to keep out negative energy. So whenever you're astral projecting, it'll be there for you and it'll protect you, and you can use it to grab onto whenever you need to go back to your body. Sunstone, an antidepressant that stimulates the kidneys and allows energy to flow freely throughout the body. It is essentially theorized that it's an antidepressant and it's meant to promote healthy body function, which is very, very helpful whenever you're casting spells, because having mental and physical clarity whenever you're about to cast a spell is very important. Number one, because you might not be able to do the spell correctly and you may manifest something wrong. Whenever you're in a state of trying to manifest something and you end up thinking about something negative, it may counteract the whole entire thing. So unless you are unsure of how Sunstone works, or if you want to look into it more, I would, before including it in your ritual, because you need to be prepared to allow this sort of energy that is coming from the universe filter in without fear. And you also need to take care of what's important to you. Like, if your body is going to be flowing with energy easily and you know that it's all going to be negative energy that's going to pop out, maybe Sunstone isn't super helpful in this situation. But if you have positive energy going on and you need some sort of boost, the antidepressant side of it will help everything else move along more quickly. So it really depends on the situation you're in. And then of course there's Moonstone, which soothes the emotions as well as the digestive system, and it encourages peace and harmony within. So even Moonstone is linked to lunar cycles, obviously, and its meaning is related to inner peace, intuition, balance, and protection. It's really, really important to recognize that the soothing of emotions, that's what's most important, because whenever you're calm and collected and you're able to focus on what you need or what you want or what you want to let go of, these crystals will help amplify those efforts as long as you have them near you and they're cleansed. And cleansing crystals is not that difficult. Really, you can use moon water to cleanse them. You can use selenite in order to like collect all the negative energy. And not only that, you can essentially like sage them. You can soak them. There are different ways. There are tons of different ways to cleanse your crystals. Something that should be said about this holiday is that, okay, so one thing that could be done, one spell that I haven't mentioned yet, is called the Balancing Tisane. So magic is all about intention, and intention requires us to ask questions and tune into our thoughts deeply. So like trying to stop thinking about the bullshit thoughts essentially and delve deep into this sort of area, even if it makes you uncomfortable. And through both the ingredients and brewing process of the tisane, which is, it essentially is tea, you're going to learn to listen to yourself and to restore balance in this moment. So, like, whenever it comes to this little twist, what is it called? Whenever it comes to this tisane, all you need is half a teaspoon of lavender, half a teaspoon of dried mint, a quarter teaspoon of mullein, a squeeze of lemon, and a spoonful of honey. And you're going to bring some water to a boil, and then turn it off and let it come to some sort of stillness where it's not bubbling anymore. And once all that energy has come to rest, in a tea strainer, combine all the different herbs besides the squeeze of lemon and honey, and put it into the strainer and pour the water that's hot over the strainer, obviously, and let it steep for 3 minutes, just like you would whenever you make tea normally. And whenever you're done, you're going to remove the strainer and add a squeeze of honey and a squeeze full of lemon and a spoonful of honey, and you're going to stir and mix everything. And when you take the first sip of your tisane and ask yourself what is most needed at this moment, you should find some time to do, like, some investigating, and you should find some time so that you can actually, like, sit by yourself and think, because this is supposed to be some sort of ritual that is going to give you clarity. So whenever you're doing this, you have to ask yourself what's needed most at this moment, which could be, should you find some time to do something that gives you pleasure? Should you go through your email? Should you call a friend? The correct answer will change from day to day. So whenever you prepare this potion for yourself, allow the response to float up with the steam. Like, allow yourself to get immersed in the smell. Think about what you want and try to think about what you need in that moment, not in your life, just in that moment. And as it says, allow the response to float up with the steam, it essentially means smell all the herbs, take it all in, because that's the point of every single herb that's used. It's used for a different reason. Every single herb is used to support some sort of facet of witchcraft in some sort of way. And not only that, it's meant to symbolize, like, emotions, actions, and thoughts and feelings and whatnot. So, yeah, whenever you're doing all of this, just make sure that you're taking a moment to breathe in the actual scent, closing your eyes, letting the heat hit your face, and whatever comes to mind first, that is meant to give you some sort of intuitive guide, essentially, to do something, even if you're not sure why. And this could be for a number of reasons. However, a lot of people think that it's really, really interesting because this season, you're in connection not most with nature, but you're in the second harvest. And Yamas was the first, Mamban being the second. You're in this period where you're in between the brand new year and the previous year. And not only that, you're on the second harvest. Like, you're in between harvests. You're learning different skills and different lessons. So, yeah. Anything else that you think that I should know about Mabon, send me a message. I will definitely hear your stories, and I will continue to allow people to understand other people's perspectives on this matter. But as far as I can tell, Mabon is a very, very interesting celebration. And the best way to celebrate is it's almost the same as whenever you celebrate Yamas. However, there are some activities that are suggested, such as going dark, which means choosing evening to turn off all electronics, not using flashlights or electric lights, and only using candles or battery operated tea lights to keep the light soft. And While you're doing that, you would be thinking, do your thoughts change when you're in true dark? Can you relinquish your daylight persona? Essentially, it's giving you a ritual, a place, like a period of time where you are learning how to transition from light to dark without fear. And the more practice you have with that, the easier it will be to essentially adapt to huge changes in your life. And not only that, there's another thing called step into change, which means small changes will help you get acclimated to bigger changes. So try going to sleep at a different time, or upending the order of your bedtime routine, or like do something that's super small that will help you towards bigger changes. For example, like if you were trying to make a painting, for example, let's try drawing once a day, even if it's for 15 minutes. That small change, it's going to help you like change your routine over time, because if you do it more and more once every single day, things will progress and you'll spend more and more time on what you need to get done because you're more comfortable giving your time to that new endeavor per se. And while you're doing this, just question, what does this do to your senses? Are you more intentional about how you go about your evening and how you move within your space? Are you more intentional about what you think and how you act, who you talk to, what you say to other people? Are you more intentional when it comes to like fulfilling your motivations? It's very, very important because these Sabbaths are magical times to reset every single altar for a new season. So as I mentioned earlier, the crystals are perfect for your altar. But not only that, whenever you're filling your altar, make sure to put some symbols that basically celebrate the Act of Mabon, which would be anything that's fall related. It's very, very, very close to Yamas, anything that's fall related, and it should be okay. And this potion that I mentioned earlier, it's very, very useful. And yeah, so there are many books that you can check out that might help you out with this. There's a book called Potions by Nikki Van De Car. Many potions, a guide to cocktails, tinctures to saints, and other witchy concoctions. And there's also another book called The Practical Witch's Spellbook by Saredwen Greenleaf. And they're are little pictures. They're illustrated by Mara Penny. And it's a complete introduction to modern magic and witchcraft and spells and incantations to promote love, happiness, and success in one's life, which is ultimately what is important about this little holiday. So yeah, I hope that helps. If you have any information regarding Mabon that I missed that is super important during this time period, please let me know, send me a message, and I will definitely get back to it on my next episode. However, last and not least, we're going to go over Samhain, or Samhain, which is what it's supposed to be pronounced like. I don't know why, because it looks like Samhain, but apparently it's Samhain or Sowin. But anyway, I'm going to say Samhain because it's easier for me, and that is what I grew up believing that it's called. So it's one of the eight major Sabbaths, obviously, but the reason why this holiday is so interesting is because many people believe that pagans are super dangerous, that they're looking to sacrifice things in order to celebrate and have rituals and whatnot. But as you can tell throughout these two podcasts, whenever it comes to the Wheel of the Year, there's no real indication that anybody is being harmed at all. And it's all about celebration. That's what it's about anyway. Like, these Sabbaths are essentially holidays. Like, it's not meant to hurt other people. So, whenever Samhain was observed, it was known that animals, humans, and nature, all of these things still need to be respected no matter what. So anything that goes outside of that realm is going to be outside of pagan beliefs. It's not pagan to believe that you slaughter an animal, for instance, so that you can get your wishes from the gods. That's not necessarily something that is what every pagan believes in. That is more a sect of paganism that is much more extremist, or extremely, extremely orthodox, going way back when, that necessarily doesn't make sense anymore to us anyway. And that's the thing, is Samhain, it's observed from sunset from October 31st all the way to sunset of November 1st. And the interesting thing is that since it's marking the end of the harvest, essentially, it is signaling death, which is the transition between fall and winter where things start to die off. And that is where the whole spirit thing comes from, because now that the harvest has ended, it's signaling the beginning of winter, which is associated with death in general. And the Celts believe that the veil between the living and the dead was super, super thin during this period of time. And that was basically something that made them believe that spirits in the dead could communicate and visit during this period of time. And the meaning behind Samhain is the same as it means today. Like, there are many rituals associated with it today, including dancing, feasting, going on nature walks, building altars, honoring ancestors, essentially trying to connect with the dead and trying to cope with the fact that death is real, that death is happening soon, especially whenever it comes to their everyday life, like with crops and everything like that. Some animals didn't even make it through. People didn't survive back in the day because of these things. And whenever it comes to having a festival or some sort of celebration, of course, dancing, feasting, taking nature walks, building your altar so that your ancestors, like, are present on that altar, even if it's just pictures or notes or anything like that. It basically helps the other souls that are visiting see that you are still thinking about them. And that's essentially what these practices were to connect with the dead, not in a negative way, not to pull information from them, but to honor them, to let them know that we know that the veil is small and this is our only opportunity to connect, essentially. And there are many parts to the altars that Wiccans built. So to symbolize the end of the harvest, usually there's some sort of indication of like apples or pumpkins or like fall crops. But to represent the spirits of the dead, there's usually skulls, skeletons, pictures of the deceased family members, letters. Some Wiccans even bake loaves of like special Samhain bread for the altar, and they feed the spirits that are essentially there. Sometimes money is put down, alcohol, just little gifts, something that is handmade and personal for this individual that you're trying to honor, or individuals that you're trying to honor. And some Wiccans believe that some Wiccan families cast a circle and think of their deceased loved ones in terms of like being in a circle. And in part of the ritual, they will share stories of their ancestors. Like, some families will choose to go to the cemetery to honor their family members instead. But essentially, standing around in a circle, that act is like creating some sort of community where we're accepting the fact that death is here, and we're giving spirits permission to talk to us, to actually have a safe place. And that circle, typically, whenever you're trying to keep spirits out,
you would have a circle of salt or some sort of protection spell that's surrounding you. When you're creating a circle, you're creating a safe space for the spirit to come along to and actually communicate. So it's really, really interesting because whenever you tie that together with other beliefs in the world, like whenever it comes to like Southern Mexico or other countries that believe in Dia de los Muertos, which is essentially the Day of the Dead, it lines up. So it's possible that Samhain and these other religions that experience supernatural phenomena during the periods of October 31st through November 1st, they're all connected due to the veil seriously being thin enough for spirits to come through, and we all understood it in a different way, and we all termed it a different way, but we all knew that this layer between us and the spirit world was thinned. And performing rituals and stuff like that, there are a lot of things that could happen, like dancing, feasting, you know, essentially doing everything that you would during any other holiday whenever it comes to the Wheel of the Year. However, celebrating Samhain, since it's so close to Halloween, and since it's based on the belief that the dead are coming back to visit, it's a little more intense because these rites and these symbols are more grim, essentially, and it may seem disturbing at first, and it may be scary, to be honest. Like, communicating with the dead can be really scary. However, honoring your ancestors, doing the things that you need to do to ensure that your family members that come to visit during this time period or previous ancestors that are coming to visit during this time period, they're here because the veil's thin and it's the end of the year, which is another thing. The end of the Wheel of the Year, it's the beginning, essentially, right now. And the transition between two seasons, essentially representing death in every sort of state possible, because not only are plants dying, but people were dying back then due to, you know, not having proper clothing or not having proper housing and everything like that, or not having enough to eat. There were a lot of different reasons why people died back then super early. So with Samhain, it's almost like we're going back, like we're starting back from Yamas, right? Which was the harvest beginning, and then Mabon, which is the harvest, the second harvest continuing, and us trying to relinquish all the negative things in our lives and starting over since it's the end of the Wheel of the Year, essentially. And then Samhain, since the beginning, it's almost like we're setting intentions and we're celebrating together and we're letting go of all the things that don't mean anything to us anymore. Excuse me. But it also symbolizes the last harvest, like the end of the harvest, like, which we recognize as death. So, and not only that, the death part being associated with Samhain may be symbolic, but it seems coincidental because not only are people dying during these time periods because we're moving into colder weather or unsuitable circumstances that a person cannot live in, we're moving from this period of time to winter, and winter is full of many different surprises. And as we talked about, like Yule and everything like that, it's a time of celebration. But I believe, this is my personal opinion, but I believe that Samhain was created so that we can have a fresh start with guidance from our ancestors. If it's the beginning of
the Wheel of the Year, if that makes sense. Because I can't physically figure out why else Samhain would mark the beginning of this new chapter if the veil is so thin. Like, we're connected to our ancestors during this period of time so that we can get more guidance. And doing rituals, doing meditation, any sort of thing that is connected to magic that we're doing during this time period is going to be amplified because spirits will be nearby to help, or they'll be nearby to give a message. And that's really what this is all about. Like, Halloween is a celebration of Samhain in a sense, because you're dressing up as somebody else and you're stripping yourself of all the negative things. Because once you put on your costume and everything like that, typically the positive feelings start coming through. And if that's not the case for some people, this is a period of time where we're still transitioning into a new season. So we're learning that, you know, we're almost to the end of the year. We only have 2 months left, November and December. What can I do to make myself productive? What can I do to motivate myself before Yule comes along? Like, what can I do to make sure that I'm doing everything I can to honor my ancestors' sacrifices and all of their hard work to keep this family alive? Because this family would not be alive without your ancestors, honestly. And even if they abandon you, they still gave birth to you. So it's essentially like your ancestors are tied to you regardless. And ancestors, they can come from your step or your step family or your married family or anything like that, or even your friend family. These ancestors are tied to people that are tied to those who love them. And if you are a direct link to this person, you will have more opportunities to hear what they have to say during Samhain. And not only that, if you're distant, if you're trying to get a hold of your stepdad's grandma who passed away, who you used to spend so much time with, for example, you would basically spend that time focusing on them and trying to get a message across. And it would still work. It would still work. But that line of communication, the bottom line is that if you want to have that communication open and available to the public, then not the public, but the universe, if you want that information to be like evaluated, understood, you need to open yourself up to that sort of possibility that it could be true that these ancestors are real and they're actually trying to help. So, yeah, that is essentially all I really have to say about Samhain. Well, thank you guys again for tuning in and supporting me and sharing my stories, everything like that. I've had a lot of people start messaging me, and it's been really nice to see the support, even if there isn't a lot going on right this moment. But it means a lot to me that I still have you guys around and that I still have a platform to be able to give you this sort of information. And not only that, I love researching this for you. It means so much to me. So just thank you again. And I really hope everybody enjoyed the holiday. And yeah, I'm just hoping that everybody's in good spirits and they're taking care of themselves. Remember, it's a super full moon, so take advantage. Don't let it slip by. Do your best to celebrate. Set those manifestations. Do what you need to do. Remember, even though we're not in this particular season on the Wheel of the Year, we still have the right and we still have the necessities to create any sort of spell that we need. And if we don't have crystals, if we don't have herbs, blah blah blah, no pad and paper and some sort of candle usually will do the trick, as long as your intentions are strong and you're trying your best
to cultivate some sort of motivation or some sort of idea of what you want the future to look like. So, yes, I'm very proud of everybody, and I'm really, really happy that you guys have still supported me through all this time. Thank you, seriously. But that's it for today, everybody. So make sure you take care of yourself. Make sure you take advantage of that super moon, and make sure you're taking care of your loved ones and giving yourself love too. You guys are amazing. Tune in next week and we'll start jumping into the story about Jason Moss, who is personal pen pals with a million serial killers. Bye, guys.